mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family.
Yo.
It's your mom and dad. It's your mother and father. And I have a question.
Babe, what? Your questions are what I dream about.
That feels heavily sarcastic.
No. It's romantic. You ever heard of it?
Well, I have a question for you and for the audience.
Oh.
Who is this guy?
That's a great question.
Who is Mel Owens? Yeah. Because from what I'm gathering, I'm having mixed signals, feelings, all of the above, because half of me says, I don't know anything about this man.
Yes.
Like, we're about to go to hometowns,
yes,
and I feel like I've heard him say about three sentences, and I really know nothing of him. And then the other half of me says, I know all these random things about him that are just boggling my
that
mind.
That seem like fake facts.
Like, we go from football player, well-known successful football player, to attorney, to going on a podcast, talking about wanting some young woman.
Yeah.
But then we also find out he went to culinary school, mm-hmm, and he reads Picasso biographies. Mm-hmm. And now we find out that he's super spiritual. And then in a conversation with Cindy, when she's complimenting him, he says, even with my potty mouth.
Right.
And so I say, Mel is constantly swearing.
Right.
Or what, talking dirty 24/7?
Or they're editing it out.
Which is the vibe that I'm getting. So I'm saying, ABC, who is this guy? Okay. Who is he?
Well, it kind of brings us also back to, like, okay, there was a lot of controversy before he got on the show, right?
Yeah.
But I was expecting an electric factory, because I'm going, wait, they're willing to kind of go through all this.
Yep.
But wait till you see him on camera.
You're going to fall
till
in love.
Or just, he's wild. He's great TV. He's nonstop action. He's charming, funny. He's going to do a bunch of crazy shit. Like, you know what I mean? At least there's kind of this, like, where we know the ABC's willing to kind of forgive because he's going to be a generational talent.
I mean,
this guy is by far the worst lead of all time. Like, no personality, no responses, barely says a word to anything.
I'm sleeping.
Like, bro, it's just so, he's incredibly boring. He's just, I mean, that's just the facts is he's incredibly boring. And even to the fact where I'm watching this episode, and there's a point when, like, all the women are kind of like fighting for their chance to stay on the show. And I'm just thinking, like, is this just like kind of group psychosis, you know, where you just kind of lose your, because I'm going, what is the thing here?
But this is
also side note.
Yeah.
Athletes.
Yeah.
Professional, especially professional.
Yeah.
Not known for best personalities.
You ever watch an
interview with a professional athlete? Yeah. It's this. Yeah. I just got to go out there and make sure we get the goal. And then they go, so we noticed in the second period, this wasn't him. Yeah. I just got to go out there and do it. Every single interview with every professional athlete, it's like that. So, like,
you can't
why,
be everything. You know what I mean? You can't have it,
like,
all.
Let them play their sport. Why do they also have to be on reality TV? Like, I'm sure there was so many guys.
Well, but this is the thing.
What was the
when
possible?
When we're watching the women scrambling and seeing Debbie, who seems like a woman of the world, a woman who's really done it all, and she's crying over him, she's fallen in love with him, all this stuff. This is what I'm saying, though. Because then when we have the Cindy moment where he's like, even if I have a potty mouth, and then we find out he's super into shaman work and spiritualism, and he's reading these intense books, and he's cooking, and he's, I mean, is he electric?
And they're cutting it all
and
out
they're
for
cutting
fear
it out
of,
because his electricity is not okay.
You see little flashes of it.
I know.
You know what I mean? When he's like talking to Carol and he's like, I like when you kind of get a little freaky.
That's
you know
what I'm saying.
Like, he has these little like moments where they let it in and you're like, what was that? And then all of a sudden it goes back to
fantastic. Is he electric, but like dirty dog,
sure,
Mel electric, where he's saying all
like
these inappropriate things.
Well,
and you know, and he's just being that way.
Other than that, we love Mel.
Because all I can understand, like, it's just, I don't get why, like you said, they made him the Bachelor after everything with the podcast interview and how everyone then felt, unless he was electric.
Right.
And so then when we're seeing him and he's sleepy, 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 and we're not hearing anything about him, but then we got these hints from like the women in conversation that he and his interests and everything, that he might actually be. Who is he? What I need, I demand to see the editing room floor.
Bro.
Who is this man? What's his deal? What are you cutting out? What's going on?
I think he's a classic lawyer. I mean, let's be real. Lawyer meets athlete. That's ego times two.
Typically.
Right. No hate on all lawyers, but I think if you are a lawyer, you know that there is a connotation there of like, I'm better than you.
Yes.
Same with professional athletes. Oh, I'm a god. I walk into the club.
Lots
everyone
of money.
Wants me.
Lots
so
of money.
So we got two of the most egotistical professions times two. And then I just kind of lean back. I think he's Dirty Dog McGee. And he's absolutely like, hey, it's good to see everyone whisper in your ear or something. He's absolutely Dirty Dog McGee. He's absolutely what you think he is. There's no question about it. The podcast was live. You got to think also the podcast was him, was him performing, and he still slipped up. So 100% with the potty mouth.
Yeah.
And he is being edited. There's no question about it. He's editing himself, and they're also editing the hell out of him.
If he is saying the inappropriate things, I'm just like, you know, I already was like, ladies, get out of here. But now I'm times 10 in the back of my mind being like, ladies, please, you all seem wonderful. Even though I also feel like I'm not getting to know you either. This season is going by so fast. I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
But I'm like, ladies, let's not argue over this guy. Not that they're arguing.
The only one we truly know is Nicole.
Let's not feel. Yes. And Nicole and him.
Nicole's the only true one we know.
And you know what? I think Nicole and him would have turned out beautifully together. And maybe when she left him and said, you'll come back to me eventually.
Oh my gosh.
It wasn't wrong. But ladies, I'm like, there's no need to be concerned. You're going to find so many amazing guys after this. Anyway, okay, let's dive into this. But first, we're going to take a quick pause. Family, so next week we have hometowns.
Yep.
We got hometowns, and Mel will be meeting the kids and the grandkids. And if you have a child, I don't need to tell you how busy you are. Our next partner makes serving healthy meals much easier for me and more enjoyable for my kiddo. So here's the deal. When Ember was little, she was particular around new foods, understandably so. But I wanted to make sure she was trying a variety of healthier meals. And at the same time, I'm not a chef. Okay, so I'm already feeling overwhelmed as a parent. And then there's that on top of it. Well, when Ember was about 2 years old, I discovered Nurture Life, and I am so grateful. This podcast is sponsored by Nurture Life. Nurture Life is a meal delivery service that makes nutritious meals and snacks your kids actually want to eat while giving parents the support they need too. Thank you. Nurture Life's whole menu is perfect for kids ages 10 months to 10 years old. Their fresh meals and snacks are delicious, nutritious, and fully cooked. That means they are ready to serve in just 1 minute. 1 minute. So grateful.
Yes. It was amazing to see how excited Ember was about eating all the Nurture Life meals. Like, I remember when she was little, she didn't like the peas or cauliflower, but then when she started eating Nurture Life's curly carbonara, which has peas and cauliflower in it, now she loves both of those veggies, which is a massive win.
It's amazing.
It's all about the delivery method. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You switch it up and they're like, wait a second.
This is delicious.
We really saw her palate open and her love for healthy food expand, which is huge with Nurture Life. So how does Nurture Life work? It's simple. Choose from more than 50 varieties of nutritious, balanced meals on their menu, from finger foods for babies and toddlers to kids' meals for older kids. Then Nurture Life does the cooking for you, and the fresh meals are delivered straight to your door in refrigerated packaging.
Yeah, Nurture Life lets kids enjoy a healthy, nutritionally balanced diet while still eating all their favorites like mac and cheese, spaghetti and meatballs, and much more, so parents can be sure there's always a healthy meal that their little ones will love. That's why Nurture Life is the top meal delivery service for babies and kids, and it's even allergy friendly too. So head to nurturelife.com/momdad55 and use code momdad55 for 55% off your first order plus free shipping. That's right, 55% off plus free shipping. Once again, that's nurturelife.com/momdad55 and make sure to use our promo code momdad55. Even if you aren't a parent with young kids, you might have parent friends who struggle with mealtime. Make sure to share our code so our show gets the credit. Remember, put your little ones first with healthy meals from Nurture Life. Okay, so episode 4 of The Golden Bachelor. And like we said, next week is hometown. So yeah. Just to clarify, three people.
Usually it's four, right?
No, in the Goldens,
Golden's
three.
The Golden's been three.
Yeah. Okay. And then it's two for Fantasy Suites. Of course. Which I'm like, give the Goldens as many as they want.
Hey. Let them rip.
Let's everyone have a good time.
And for the Fantasy Suites, they bring back four. So now it's six.
The whole cast is coming back. I'm just saying, once
Melissa
I'm older.
Melissa requested this specifically.
I'm just saying, once I'm older, I'm like, let's have a party, everybody. You know what I mean?
And they all come back. And they turn the mansion into a dungeon. Live music. It just becomes like, welcome to hell. I don't know what. Sorry, guys. It's a weird day for me. There's two.
So last week in our recap, I was kind of like spiraling, assuming, because I saw numerous outlets talking about how there was only one more episode left. And I was like, how is this going to happen? I don't understand. Well, it looks like we were wrong in our assumptions. I think it's a little less than normal, maybe. But from what I'm aware of now, the finale date is supposed to be November 5th. So I think we're going to get hometowns. And then I think the next week we're going to get Women Tell All Fantasy Suites, and then the following week we're going to get the finale.
Yeah.
So looks like we're still cruising with this, which I'm happy about, because I did feel very confused and very rushed. And even though Mel's not my favorite, I felt the need to have this end in a way that was traditional with the hometowns and then the tell all and the fantasy suites. I need it. Now, what they're going to talk about at the Women Tell All, Who knows? I guess they can just actually go in on Mel the entire time. That's the one thing. Like, let's talk about how you felt about him after hearing that podcast.
I think there'll be a lot of that. I think there'll be a lot of, like, you know, this aunt, the sister's asking, the kids are asking, you know, they're kind of like, who are, like, I don't like the vibe. Do you even like
my
mom?
I said the tell-all, not the hometown.
And that's what I'm saying. All right. Sorry. I'm sorry. The tell-all.
We're recapping The Golden Bachelor today.
Well, it's very golden of me to just not be even hearing you and be forgetting things. So I'm pre-goldening. Okay. I'm preparing you for the way.
So what I was saying is in the Women Tell All, I'm wondering what they're even going to be talking about, minus perhaps how you felt about Mel after hearing the podcast.
Yeah.
Because this season so far, we barely are seeing any of these women. Why are you smirking?
I'm just thinking about it. I was just thinking about yeah, this season's the most weird experience we've ever had, sure.
I know. And this is coming off of Bachelor in Paradise that they made into a game show, which was weird.
God, this franchise is just like, what are we doing?
And then we're about to hop into Taylor Frankie Paul season,
which
is going to
feel
different reality TV experience. I mean, it's all over the place, but we haven't gotten to know these women at all.
No, we really haven't. And the little we have, I really like. They're all like,
love them
on the whole, very sweet.
But Golden Bachelor season one with Gary Turner. It was less about GGT and it was more about the women.
You fell in love with them. You learned about them. Their connection was strong.
They showed a lot of footage inside the house, inside the mansion, with them being silly and having fun. This season, we're not seeing really barely any moments with
them. Do you
think
it was just a bit of lightning in the bottle with the first one? It was just like electric. You know, it was just amazing how they connected. And then they're just not on the same level. Or you think they're just experimenting with editing or what?
I think that when your season starts off the way that
it's like a
Mel's
darkness.
Did, is that there's a dark
energy. There's a darkness. A darkness falls upon the land.
And it's a little bit
Everyone's
feeling a little off, a little weird, insecure because of what he said, which gets me so upset.
Everyone's on edge.
I think everyone's a little on edge. Yeah. I think it's just a different energy.
I think so too.
But I want more of these women.
I know.
We get glimpses, like, I don't know. You showed us ABC 10 seconds of Peg.
Yeah, starting that
on a
off.
Unicycle.
You know what's super weird about that?
Unbelievable.
I had a dream about a unicycle the night before I saw the episode.
I didn't know that you were some sort of psychic.
I had a dream. I had a dream that I had to run an errand, mm-hmm. but I wasn't at my house. Like I was at somebody else's house and there was no car. And they handed me a unicycle to go to the store.
Were you able to use it?
And it was like, I didn't. And this is kind of like, it was like, I was so confident in just like, I'll figure it out that I did it. And it worked. And I was coming back with groceries like this. I was coming back with groceries to the house and it wasn't even like a thought.
Well, you know who could do that?
Who?
Peg.
Peg. If there's one person on planet Earth who could go get groceries and who maybe kind of low key does go get groceries.
On a unicycle.
On a unicycle.
Well, think about it. She brought the unicycle with her.
And she's doing laps like for herself. Like there was no one-on-one interview with the, like, you know what I mean? It wasn't like she was like, come over here, camera crew. And they were doing a whole bit. It was almost like the eye in the sky camera caught her doing it.
Yeah, it's because Peg never stops moving, Evan.
Dude, she is absolutely incredible.
She's unbelievable. I really want her to be our next Golden Bachelorette.
Well, no, because Nicole's going to be.
That's true.
The worst spy of all time. The worst villain to ever do it. $100. I mean,
she had so much potential too.
God. But no, Peg, you know what Peg reminds me of, just like what you like, serotonin, mm-hmm. positivity, mm-hmm. what you just want for your life and everyone around you.
I know.
That energy, you're like, God. But my she just electricity bouncing
but
off
like
her.
How dare this show not show us more of these women?
I know.
When you have amazing women in this mansion, aka you have one of your contestants unicycling around the mansion.
How are you not going, bah, 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 and they make a whole thing. Why and giving her not, like a
dude,
course to
have,
go through.
Yeah, exactly. Have Peg teach a circus class to all the women. I mean, that's what they did last season. And then you are seeing these women and they're laughing and you're falling in love with
them.
She
could have done a fire course,
yep.
where they had to like
training,
climb the side of a mountain,
go down a pole.
And go down a pole. Like there's so many creative
so
ideas
many
here for each of these women. What's her name? Could have been doing like a workout class.
Yeah, Debbie.
Every morning, the whole thing. Like, everyone could have been, they could have been so many bits.
I know.
I mean, even could have been doing, with Nicole, could have been a nutrition thing in the morning. And she's doing a full cooking class and she's showing everyone and everyone's rolling their eyes or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there was so many moments they could have made.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about this, when it comes to the golden seasons in general, I do feel like, because we really want to get to know some of these women, is what they should do is they, instead of making the group dates random, each group date should be led by one of the women their skill. So like you said, we do a whole firehouse date with Peg. We do a plant-based cooking with Nicole. We do a workout with Debbie.
Yes.
Like we have, I mean, we find out that Cindy's an engineer. I don't know. We go to some space engineer thing with Cindy.
Yeah.
I don't know. But each woman runs a group class. And it would be so fun because then you'd really get to see a different side of your contestants.
We just thought of four ideas that were dynamite in 10 seconds.
Write it down.
Hire us!
Write it down. Speaking of, actually, I don't even know how this is speaking of. I was trying to transition into.
Don't worry about a transition.
I was
going to
say, speaking of electric ideas, you should check out our last podcast episode.
Oh, you should.
Even though they weren't our ideas, because if you haven't listened to it, please listen to our last episode. We had a spooky, spooky episode where we talked about ghost stories and getting ghosted. And you all sent in voicemails about your stories, and when I tell you
ones.
I was like, I couldn't sleep the next night. Like, there were some really, really scary ghost stories, and also some funny moments and some serious and like heartfelt moments. So check that out.
It's a great episode. It was really fun,
and that was a great transition on my part.
And like and subscribe.
Okay, so listen, Hometowns is next week. We have episode 4 with Mel, and the whole episode starts off with moaning, and then
that was kind of gnarly.
Hearing, oh my god,
just like, yes,
and then
like,
I've never done this before.
Yeah, oh god, that's gnarly.
And the bees on the flowers, and it was erotic, to say the least.
It was.
And it made me feel like, oh, is this gonna be an episode that has a level of excitement and eroticism to it? No.
Getting in a cold bath. Cold plunge.
I don't like being baited like that.
No.
I don't like it. If you're going to start an episode out with eroticism, don't tease me, daddy.
Don't tease me, daddy.
Make it an erotic episode. I want to see that.
Side note, is putting people in their 60s into freezing cold water
dangerous?
Just a little sketchy?
I feel like probably.
Yeah.
Sketchy for me.
Well, like, I think in general, just being in freezing water is sketchy, but like, let alone people who like are older who might have heart issues.
Yeah. Hey.
It just seems a little not.
Yeah.
Vibe.
They're taking risks.
They're taking risks.
I thought they were taking risks when we did the, later in the episode, when we did the Griffith Park date.
The horse thing?
Yeah. First, he's never been on a horse before.
We'll talk about that.
But I'm just saying we're taking some risks.
I mean, definitely. That's definitely. But at least on a horse, it's like you might fall and break a leg, but it's like.
You can break your back.
But I'm just saying like.
He's fragile.
That's true.
He's stiff.
Yeah, he's got that stiff vibe. Yeah.
It was
the whole
not,
body turns with the head kind of thing. Yeah.
It's not safe.
That's ex-athlete vibes. You know, he's busted up.
Okay. So we end up going back to the mansion at the top, and we see a moment where Carol and Cindy do have a conversation about how they're realizing that next week is going to be hometown dates, and they both have not gotten one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. And Carol's like, hey, I don't know, but I don't know how I'm going to feel if I don't get a one-on-one. And it's actually just kind of wild to me to think about like how fast is this happening. Mm-hmm. Think about introducing your family to this man next week. I know. Yes. Okay. So they haven't gotten the hometowns yet, which we see sometimes on the seasons, but this has all happened so fast. Like I really felt for Carol being like, I'm supposed to take this man to my home next week and introduce him to my child, and all that he knows about me is that I went skinny dipping in some pools and that's it, and he liked that.
What was, now I'm spacing so hard. Last Bachelor,
Gary Turner.
No, not Golden.
Oh, Grant.
Who was it that like
Zoe?
We were heading to hometowns and they hadn't had a one-on-one yet, and we were like, whoa, this is insane. Now this feels like every single person's like that.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like even it was so insane at the time, but now it's like, it's become so detached that it feels like no one's had a one-on-one.
Yeah, even the women who technically have had one-on-ones, I'm like, wait, they had a one-on-one with him already?
Also, you know what they're doing is like, the edits for the one-on-ones are so small. You notice that too? Like before it was like a lot of the one-on-one. You used to see like many conversations, like every activity they did. Now it's like the one-on-one lasts for like 3 minutes. And it's like, they just show like a little thing. They're at the final spot and that's over. And you're like, was that a one-on-one?
I think part of it has to do with the fact that, you know, it's an hour-long episode now, which I like the faster episodes, but we're basically getting like 40 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
So we only get a couple minutes viewing of the one-on-one. Yeah. What I would like to know is how long are these one-on-ones actually?
Yes.
On The Golden Bachelor. Like how long are they actually spending time together? And do they feel like they're walking away knowing the person at all?
100%.
Because I even think about Joan's season, and during Joan's season, the one-on-ones felt hearty.
Yes.
Like I think about her and Chalk at Disneyland all day. It felt like a hearty one-on-one. You saw them at Disneyland all day long, going on all the rides, and then they're having the nighttime dinner. And it's like, I got to know this guy. These one-on-ones are like, hey, you're going to cook for an hour and then sit and eat for an hour and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And you could see the sun like not change in these one-on-ones. It's like just totally bright. Versus the old ones, it would be like you see the day and then they're at night and they're having like a day. It's like it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know. Something to think about. So I was feeling for Carol.
Yeah. Carol's already like the one who was being told like, don't be so shy around me. You know, that she was just kind of like, there's nothing wrong with my personality, FYI. You know what I mean? Like we were already seeing her kind of like not be the one who's just like, love me. She was always kind of like, okay, like kind of responding to some of his comments like, okay, there's nothing wrong with me, FYI, just because I'm a little shy. You know, she was always kind of playing with that.
I miss my nephew.
Yeah.
I miss working for Freddie.
Exactly.
Freddie Highmore.
Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Highmore, I think, is an actor.
Is it? Sound like somebody.
I miss my nephew, Freddie Highmore, in his movies.
in his B-movies.
I think he's kind of an actor.
Is he? Sorry, Freddie. Love you. Big fan. But yes, it's like she was always the one who was a little not quite sold on him, I felt.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I felt like Carol to me felt like she felt like she should be into Mel, where it's like we live close by each other.
They kind of have a similar look, like they look like they're from the same world energy.
We both go to Javier's in Newport Beach on the weekends. We both ride Duffy's around the harbor. We both fill
our little thing with wine and walk on the beach.
We both have our little wine coolers. Yes. And we both live near each other, and we both are in the athletic space.
Yes.
We see each other. I used to go, but I actually, now that I'm sitting with him, number one, he's not speaking to me at all. And he's kind of just staring at me, or we're getting it edited out and he's swearing up a storm at her with his body. Well,
and she also was like, I felt like she also was kind of always in this place where she had to explain herself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, I'm just a little shy, or I'm sorry, I just generally am. You know what I mean? I think he made her feel insecure about her not being buzzy and bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
And then the one time they do address it, he's like, yeah, give me more of like the fun, crazy side. And she's kind of like defending herself later. You know what I mean? So they were just missing. I think he liked her, but I do think they were missing each other.
That's one of the dates that I would like to see the cut footage, because there was something about, I shouldn't say date, but that moment where they had alone on the group date, where he was like, open up. And then she told him about the skinny dipping. And he was like, yeah, I want to see that opened up side. The way that she was interacting with him energetically felt like he was being a little bit of a sleaze.
Yeah, 100%.
Sorry if it's not true. This is all alleged. This is just a vibe that I'm getting. Yeah. I want to see the footage because it felt off to me. And here now she is next week sending herself home and then saying to him, you know, it's okay to be reserved sometimes. Yeah. I don't know. I could see that maybe he made a couple sketch comments during their moment together and she's like, I'm out. Again, that's a big assumption. Yeah. I have no proof, but there was just an energy.
Be shocked if there was some him being a little just, let's look at that. More of that. That's what I need. And they're like, well, let's just cut that little part out.
I want to see the footage. Okay, and then they have a group date
where
we find out about Spiritual Mel, which I really would like to talk about on Butterfly Mountain. But before we talk about that, let's take another quick pause. So family, listen, falling in love is great. I hope it happens for all of these Goldens. But do you know what's better than falling in love? An escape room. Mm. No offense, babe. Yeah. Not much brings me joy like an escape room does, okay? The other day, I actually did an escape room with some of my friends, a Greek mythology themed one, by the way. It was very fun, very fun. And one of my friends had booked the room and paid for it. So afterwards, we all started using Cash App to pay her back. And my other friend was like, oh, I don't have Cash App. And we were like, what? Not to be rude, but what? You don't use Cash App?
Are you okay?
Excuse me? I love, love, love Cash App. My family and I have been using it for years. The benefits to choosing Cash App are endless. It's so, so easy to sign up for and get started. Like, boom, easy, easy. If you direct deposit on Cash App, you can get your money up to 2 days earlier than some banks. They have a personalization feature so you can customize your card. So cute. Cash App acts like a bodyguard, protecting my money, warning me if something looks sus. It's happened before. They've been my money bodyguard. Mm-hmm. I am so grateful for them. Cash App is just the best.
Yeah. And Cash App does more than you think when it comes to having your back and making sure your money stays your money. If you direct deposit at least $300 in paychecks each month and use the Cash App card for purchases, you can unlock up to $200 in free overdraft coverage. If you overdraft unexpectedly, there are no hidden fees. Manage your money on your terms and take advantage of free overdraft coverage up to $200 on Cash App today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. For a limited time, new Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use code CASHAPP10 in their profile at sign up and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank. Member FDIC. Overdraft coverage provided by Cash App, a Block Inc. brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures. Okay, so next we have a group date on Butterfly Mountain, and Mel lets us know that he's a very spiritual person. And I tell you, this man, he shocks me every single week. I'm so thrown off by not knowing at all who this person is. It just It really bothers me because something about me is that I like to understand people. Sure. It's one of my things. I'm like, I feel like it's something I'm good at is I can get people. Mm. I don't get him and it's driving me.
What are you?
Up the wall, yes. Okay? Because nothing about him says I'm into like shaman energies. Nothing about what he has done in the past work-wise or what we know about him has like hit me as someone who's going to be like, yes, I have done ayahuasca.
He gives therapy is for weak-minded people.
Yes, he gives you like astrology and crystals. I'm laughing in your face energy. Yeah, like,
there's no way I'm talking to someone about probably you insane. That's his vibe.
And turns out he's like a guru deluxe. So he brings them all atop this mountain and he brings in Shaman Danny. Mm-hmm. And I just need to shout out Shaman Danny because Shaman Danny was put to work.
Yeah.
Okay, Shaman Danny was all over that damn all butterfly mountain.
Yeah.
Think about everything she was doing. Mm-hmm. I hope they paid her well because she did every form of shamaning in like a 3-hour period and it was very impressive.
100%.
She was very good too.
She was very good. She was good.
Like,
yeah, she had a vibe.
There was a vibe.
Yeah, 100%. Hopefully she gets lots of business from this.
I'd call Shaman Danny if she's in the LA area. Like, I'm in, because when they had them all sit together initially and she was talking about writing down an emotion that you want to let go of, I felt like she got them to go pretty deep quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, Debbie writes down hopelessness, which like really hurt my heart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really hurt my heart. And then Peg said unworthy.
Yeah.
Carol said unworthy. I thought that was a pretty powerful moment where we had some of these, you know, these older women open up. I know for myself, hearing women who are older than me be vulnerable and be like, oh, we're all experiencing the same type of emotions, 100%. Regardless of age. It makes you feel like, oh, we're all in this together.
100%.
Because, you know, on often occasions, like, I feel unworthy, I'm feeling hopeless. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, like, I don't know. We can see each other.
Yes, of course. Very connecting.
Mel said friction.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want someone arguing with me all the time. That's what he's saying. He's like, I don't want someone being like, where do you mean you're going out with your boys again? What do you mean you're going golfing again? I don't want this chick yapping at me all day. So he's like, how do I put that in a way that is chill? He's like, friction.
Okay, I have That's a question all that was. For you.
He's like, I want a chill ass broad. I don't want one of these loud mouth, yapping around old ladies bothering me. I want a young, chill,
quiet,
take my money and shut it energy. So I'll say friction. That's what that was. 100%. I don't want this old lady going, what do you mean? What do you mean you're going on another golf trip? That's not what I want. I want, okay, daddy. Thank you for going on a golf trip. You're the best. I'll have food waiting for you when you return. I mean, let's just be real. Friction is a crazy one to say. I don't want any more friction in my life.
I want it all to be oiled down and smooth.
I don't want any friction.
Lots of oil.
I want more friction. I want it. Yeah.
Slick and smooth.
That's what I want. I don't need to know my inner child.
You know what's funny is whenever I think about like spirituality and like crystals and shamans and diving deep, I'm thinking about like vulnerability and opening up and like diving into that inner child and self-reflection, real true self-reflection. Do you think maybe Mel and his like spiritual thing is like of the alpha Joe Rogan sphere, where it's like you've got like misogynist Joe Rogan yuck energy super into like shaman and spiritualism, and you're like, I don't know what you think this is, my guy, but it's not supposed to be what you think. It's a little bit like cold plunge alpha energy.
I'm sure there's a little bit of that. Could be like, you know, sex cult vibes, you know, where he's like, oh, I kind of like this like spiritual vibe, you know what I mean? Like, we're all, you know, take our clothes off energy, you know what I mean? Like, it's not actually about the work.
Oh my god. Well, Well, we have little moments with all the ladies. Peg and Mel, they get into a mud bath together. You know, he's like, so where would I go? Hometown Vegas. And he likes that. She's like, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. She writes love on his chest. And he says Peg is a live wire. And he's into how energetic Peg is because he's like, wow, this would be a lot of fun. Wink, wink. But I love how later even Jesse is like, hey, Mel, you think you can handle Peg's energy? Because from what I'm gathering, Jesse Palmer posted a photo of Mel a couple days ago of him just sleeping on a couch. And it's like Jesse's in front. And it didn't. It felt like Jesse was making fun of him.
Yeah, like you're actually an old man.
It felt kind of rude.
Which is like we talked about this.
It didn't feel like, oh, like how tired our lead is because being a lead is exhausting. Yeah. It was this like, why of all photos are you posting this photo of Mel?
I mean, there's no question him being like a professional athlete and stuff. He's definitely probably one of those guys that really struggles with his like mortality. Like the fact that he's getting old and he's slow. And so it's like this forcing myself to be young in my mind. When in reality, it's like you're not accepting your age. Honestly, I think it's one of those things. It's like when you were praised for your youth and athleticism and like prowess and now you're getting old. You know, I think he's one of those guys that like he's always kind of like, no, I can go. I'm crazy. I can go. You know what I mean? He's kind of got that energy. So
it's like him on the horse.
Exactly.
Later.
I was going to say, I was like, his whole thing later on the horse is just like He-Man energy. Like, I'm not afraid of anything. What do you mean? I'm not afraid. It's just kind of like, okay. Like
I was a professional football player.
In the NFL. You think I'm afraid of you?
I fear nothing.
Yeah, it was just a little bit like, you can. It's okay to be like a little, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, it's kind of scary. Like, yeah, I haven't been on a horse in a long time.
A large,
getting
majestic
older.
Creature.
I'm not getting older. You're getting older. He's kind of got that vibe. So I think it's one of those things where it's like, he doesn't want to. I can hang with Peg. Are you kidding me? I'm twice as fast as Peg.
It makes my heart hurt because it's like, Mel, like, let yourself be sleepy. Yeah. Let yourself be slow down and be tired and be like, hey, you know what? I'm going to try to retire. And if you have the privilege of being able to financially retire in this current day and age, like, and you want to retire. It's okay to be sleepy. Just, get older. Just
I'll
like
never
sink into it. You don't need to have a live wire energy.
I'm going to try it for the Chargers again. You're like, okay, dude.
It was the Rams, I think.
Whatever.
Next, then we have Cheryl and Mel. Now, Cheryl, that's when, of course, we saw the clip earlier where they do the cold plunge together. And she's like, a cold plunge? And she's like, oh, no, she is. Cheryl is a Disney princess.
100%.
When she was like, a roast? What's a roast? I can't hurt someone else's feelings. We do what? What's this?
Oh, that voice is really
good.
A
large pool of water? Oh, it's freezing. Yeah. I don't know what to do with this pool of water. And then he's like, if you get in the pool of water, you'll experience clarity.
Meanwhile, he's dying. He's like this. He's like, did you notice how he was sucking air? It was like insane. It looked like he was like on the death. He's like, it's great. It was like,
he says, you'll experience clarity. She goes, what? Really? And then 5 seconds later, she goes, oh, I can see it all now.
Yeah,
you're right. Mel, he's so smart. I see the clarity all in front of me. Wow. And I know he's the one. He's the love of my life. I mean, she's darling.
She's so cute.
She's darling. But there was the energy of she's so, I feel like, wants to have that connection with him, that when he says you're going to experience clarity, instead of it being like, well, shit, I'm just cold. I don't know about you.
Horrible.
She was like, you're right. I see it all in front of me. And I'm like, no, it's okay.
Like, this sucks.
He's
and there's
not,
no way around
you
it.
Don't have to, we don't have to pretend that he's some wise, like everything he says is perfect and right. It's like, it's okay. You guys went on the first one-on-one date. You barely have seen each other since. You had a couple moments with him where when you sat down, you right away let him know, like, I just want to let you know that you have been just the apple of my eye this entire time.
I know I just met you, but you're the love of my life.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's princess in a tower. It's
I
like,
know.
Let down your hat. You know what I mean?
And
it's
just
like, and then you were married.
And there's butterflies landing on her and deer are coming up to her. Yes. And I believe her.
Yeah, she is very sweet like that.
I believe she feels that way, but I'm like, oh, Cheryl, no.
Yeah, you
like,
don't realize what's going
this
on
is
here.
Not, this is not.
This is not that.
And then she like lets him know in the hot tub moment that she is falling in love with him.
I was like, whoa.
And he later on says, that was shocking.
He's like, whoa, that's cool. I guess.
She says, I'm falling in love with you. And he lets her know. He's like, yeah, I had feelings for you right away. And
they have not gone away.
They haven't gone away. And she's like, what? Yes.
You are. Yeah. And the birds, like,
they're doing your hair.
Yeah, they're doing your hair 100%. Until you lift her up and she flies away.
A cold plunge. This is uncomfy. Birds. And then they're just flying.
Yeah, 100%.
And they're just braiding it.
They bring her towel.
But, you know, I felt my heart hurt for her. Sure. And I'm happy that ultimately, skipping ahead, he didn't end up choosing her, because
kind of saved her from.
I felt like she would have fallen more and more
if they would have done the hometowns. It would have been bad.
Yes. And then, you know, she would have taken him to like meet her son, and she'd be like, I think his name was Tyson or something. Yeah. She would have been like, Tyson, he's the love of my life. And then he would have left, and then it would have really devastated her more.
It kind of saved her from more heartbreak.
Cheryl is ready to be the Golden Bachelorette.
Interesting.
She's ready to be the Golden Bachelorette. That woman wants to find love. She wants to meet her man. She's ready to find love. She'd be a fantastic Golden Bachelorette. She'd be a Disney princess. And, you know, ABC Disney, they'd be able to have tons of like Disney themed things, and she'd fall in love with all of them.
Dude, that's what I said. She's a little gullible. I'm a little afraid for manipulation. Like, I feel like she would just be like, wait, you love me.
But if she's in the driver's seat, then she can just fall in love with all of them. And one's bound to work, right? I would imagine. Mel and then Debbie have their moment together. They do tantric yoga, the divine unity of masculine and feminine. She straddles him and they stare into each other's eyes. I love that they gave our workout goddess a workout moment. I like when they set people up for success. Mm-hmm. I really like that. She lets him know that it's been 14 years since she has been in love.
Yeah.
Which is a long time. And she's like, I have been lonely and I want you. She like is direct. She's very like, direct. I want you to meet my sister and my friends. I want you to come to my hometown. It would absolutely mean the world to me. And he likes that she is just like, lets him know what she wants.
Yeah, true.
He's like, I like a dominant woman in certain situations. Yes. And she tells him that she's falling in love with him. Now, what's interesting to note that I noticed is with almost all of his moments, because there's no roses that are given out until the rose ceremony, he tells almost every single one of these women that he can't wait to meet their family. Yeah. Rookie mistake, my guy.
Like, but I mean, obviously he got away with it, but it was interesting. It was just kind of like, I thought the same too. I was like, whoa. Okay, he's just doing this for all of them. So then when he cuts him, he's like, sorry, it's the game, baby.
It's just a strange thing, because I feel like with another lead,
yeah,
he would have had to pay via the audience or via the women. I don't know what it is about him, because he gives us nothing.
Maybe.
That it's like nobody's talking about the fact that he basically like promised all of them that he was going to choose them for hometowns. Yeah. And then he cut three of them.
Yeah.
But there's no kickback from it.
Yeah, there was no like, I really thought you made me feel. Yeah, I mean, he's giving so little that like there really is this level of like, I do feel what is highlighted is a lot of the women's desire for love. Does that make sense? Because you're not seeing like intense chemistry with anyone. Like I'm not seeing him like really connect with anyone. You're not seeing this kind of electricity. So you're kind of like seeing these women be like, take me with you. And it's a little bit like, is it just the kind of group think you're stuck in the house? You're kind of, you know, you want it so bad for your life. Because I'm watching Debbie and I'm like, you're a smoke. You're electric, you're successful, you're awesome, and you have 10 times the personality and all this stuff. And then you're kind of just being like, please, to Mel. And it's just, it was bizarre to me. You know what I mean?
I don't love that, just because, like, again, these women that they choose for the Golden Bachelor franchise are unbelievable.
Yeah, they're amazing.
And I want them to just be pumped up and know what incredible women they are. And that's why I didn't like, for many reasons, that they let Mel continue to be the lead after what he said, because then all the women are on their back foot trying to push through the feeling of like, am I not good enough for this man, which is so far from the truth. But it's like him being in the power position after he said that, I don't like it, because then I think that there is that level of kind of like, than the groupthink mentality where it's like, ladies, you all should just band together as a union and be like, we're out.
It's definitely the mix of a little, it makes them, makes you insecure about your age mixed with the fact that he gives you nothing. So then you don't know if you're in in a good spot. You're kind of like having to then fight for it and not knowing how it's going.
Yeah, you're right. And I don't like that.
Yeah, I know. It feels a little lopsided.
But also, like I said, going back to the fact that he's not getting busted for telling these women.
There's all that too. Yeah.
There's almost this idea of like, when you've already disappointed us.
Yeah. We're not expecting anything.
Then the bar is low.
I never take the high road so that there's more. I always let everyone else take the high road so there's more room for me on the low road. That's kind of the energy. I was like, I think that was Parks and Rec. Anyway.
Anywho, so let's talk then about Carol and Nicole on this group date. Yeah. But first, we got to take another quick pause. So family, you know, we saw the other week that Mel is actually a chef. Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, I've said what I said about Mel, but hot.
Yeah.
It's hot.
It's understandable.
But you know what's even hotter? Watching my gorgeous husband making delicious meals in this cozy fall weather with honestly the sexiest cookware I have ever seen. Okay, I'm talking about Hexclad, and we recently got their 6-piece set, and I am telling you, this cookware is hot. Like a gorgeous, stunning, sexy design and pro-level performance with its patented nonstick surface and stainless steel durability, Hexclad makes it easy to go from searing a pork tenderloin to simmering your favorite butternut squash soup without skipping a beat or scrubbing for hours, which we love, okay? Hexclad pans truly check every single box when it comes to picking your cookware. They are metal utensil safe, dishwasher safe, toxin free, and oven safe up to 500 degrees. They're induction ready and even have a stay cool handle so you can saute with ease, okay? Hexclad is top notch. And for a limited time only, our listeners get 10% off your order with our exclusive link, hexclad.com/momdad.
Yeah, I won't lie to you. I'm obsessed with our new Hexclad 6-piece set. Like, I'm in love with it. I can't stop cooking right now because it feels so good with this cookware. I've been a fan actually for a really long time, low key. The 6-piece set is the perfect starter bundle for any kitchen and includes 3 of their most popular pans with matching lids, giving you everything you need to handle daily cooking with ease. I'm telling you, from breakfast to dinner, these pans deliver pro level performance, effortless cleanup, and durability that lasts a lifetime. Hexclad also has a 12-piece set. It's the ultimate all-in-one cookware upgrade with 3 versatile pans, 2 saucepans, and a family-sized stock pot, each with its own lid. You'll have every tool you need to cook for a crowd or master any recipe. And these are built with Hexclad's patented hybrid technology and backed by a lifetime warranty. That's massive.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. So this set is designed to be the last cookware you'll ever need. I know that. I feel that. I'm
excited
about
listen,
it.
Evan's the cook in our house. He's the chef in our house. So I'm watching him use this Hexclad cookware,
it's
like delivering unbelievably delicious foods. But I do most of the cleanup, and the cleanup is so easy with Hexclad.
It really is.
It's so easy. I love it. Like I said, I don't have to scrub for hours. And Evan told me the other day that he was creating magic with Hexclad, that Hexclad has patented laser etched hexagonal steel ridges that boost your searing power, which again, I'm not the chef in the house, so I don't necessarily know all that that means, but I'll tell you, it tastes good.
Yeah, it's basically like you don't need to use nearly as much heat as you do with other pans. If you can use way less heat, it gets way hotter. It's epic.
Ugh, it's everything. Yeah. These are the best pans you'll ever own, okay?
No
and fall
question.
Is the perfect time to upgrade to Hexclad with all the holidays and meals together. Also, this is maybe the best gift ever for someone. Mm-hmm. Just a thought, okay? Fall is the season for cozy gatherings and home-cooked meals, so why not treat yourself to the best cookware to make it all a breeze? For a limited time only, our listeners get 10% off your order with our exclusive link. Just head to hexclad.com/momdad. Support our show and upgrade your fall kitchen at hexclad.com/momdad. That's hexclad.com/momdad. Make sure to let them know we sent you. Cheers to stylish and stress-free fall hosting with Hexclad. Okay, so back to the group date. Let's talk about Nicole. Okay. So, side note, before Mel and Nicole even have their solo moments during the group date, Nicole lets us all know that when she's with the women, that she's picking up on some insecure energy. And she says she's really sensitive about negative energy, so that's why she's picking up on this insecure energy. But don't worry.
And this is the line.
But don't worry.
This line is what does it.
That negative insecure energy is going to get filtered out by next rose ceremony.
Like, all these desperate women are going to get cut and I won't have to hear this bullshit anymore, is what she said.
That's crazy.
It's crazy to be like, some of these women are so desperate. They're just like, oh my gosh, why don't you love me? Thank God Mel's going to cut them. Also, that's what she said. That's the real way she said it.
Also, what made me laugh so hard is it's like we all know the person who always says, I'm super sensitive to energy. Yes. And you're like, they're the most insensitive person you know. Where it's like, I'm super empathetic. And you're like, you are so not.
Anyone who declares something about themselves, generally, whatever they declare, it's the opposite.
Just be like, I'm so sensitive to energy.
I'm such a leader. And you're like, who?
Whomst?
You know what I mean?
It's basically, like, she was like, I read the room really well. And it's like, Nicole, you are terrible at reading 100%. The room. I can't lie to you, love. Like, I cannot
you're
lie
telling
to
everyone
you.
Your evil planet ever. You told the lead your evil planet. Are you out of your mind? If you're going to be evil, you have to at least not tell your enemy how you're going to take him. It's insane.
Well, I have to tell you. So since last week when she, you know, laid out the plan, the influencer
production
plan.
And crew and everyone
writers and
everyone
PAs.
what her dialogue plan was.
She and then she also insulted the season one cast. I went on her Instagram, and since she first of all, she's posted like a lemon bar recipe, which is hilarious.
If you're gonna do it right.
Lean in. And then she posted things where she was like, sorry, not sorry. If being honest and transparent is villainous, then I'll take the villain thing.
Badass.
Yeah. So she was doing that whole thing. But then she did post she did a post where she apologized about what she said about the season one cast, about basically saying that they're less attractive than season two.
Sure.
And in it, she said, hey, I'm so sorry. I'm, you know, we're all growing over here and I shouldn't have said that. And I learned so much from these ladies and their grace and whatever. She definitely didn't call them hot. But she did say, I've learned.
Listen, ugly people too can teach me lessons.
But she's like, I've learned from their grace, and they took the first steps.
I looked down on them, and they threw up some words of wisdom, and I took them.
And then I was looking at the comments, and quick side note. People are brutal, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the comments on her post, it's like, you know what? This is a TV show. Is what she said about the season one cast terrible? Yes, that was so rude. That was so rude. The season one cast is stunning, beautiful perfection, okay? Let them be, okay? And even if you didn't think, saying that is insane, okay?
Yeah.
But the comments are so brutal. Horrific. I'm like, just let this woman live, okay? Whatever.
Yeah.
But on that post where she's apologizing, she says, you know, I'm so sorry for calling the season one cast less attractive.
Yeah.
There was a comment that said, here's the bottom line. They were. And starts and leans into, here's the bottom line. They were less attractive. Okay. Anyone who didn't see, who can't see that,
it
just isn't
Nicole too. You're
who
like,
isn't being honest. They can't, you know, it's, but you know, they were wonderful women, but let's be real. We're just being honest and transparent.
You
know, Nicole liked that comment and goes, thank you so much for taking the time to say this.
Yeah. I'm sorry that you're annoyed by that is what that's basically. Yeah. She's like, thank God. I mean, let's be real. That's iconic. Again, worst villain of all time. In her own post, undoes her apology.
So literally, it's like this woman apologized.
She goes, thanks God someone agrees with me. It's like, hey, Nicole, this isn't a DM, okay?
It literally was like, it was just like, it's her basically being like, I gotta get people off my back.
Yeah, like, this is
so annoying.
Because
let's be real, I think that I'm way better. Oh my gosh.
That's insane.
But during her time, during her time with Mel, we hear Mel say that Nicole is one of my favorites because she brought me the lemon bars. Evan,
that
I
was
need,
very funny.
I need
and he wasn't
to
joking,
know.
Too. Like, it wasn't a joke.
It wasn't a joke.
He was just like, yeah, Nicole's my favorite. We got the lemon bars. It's like, whoa.
I need to ask you this, though, because it was ITM. It was overdubbed over the
yeah,
top.
Yeah, it's like hard to know if
do
that was real.
Do you think that production told him to say that, or do you think he really said that?
It's a mix. I mean, I think realistically, I think he's a pretty smart guy. I don't think yeah. he would say that actually. I think it was probably a joke.
Yeah.
Probably from a previous thing.
Yeah.
And then they kind of dubbed it to make it look like not a joke.
Because that made him look
I want to believe,
ridiculous.
I want to believe that it was a joke or it was real or whatever, but you know, he's smart enough to know like that's an insane thing to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He keeps talking about, you know, that they've obviously got crazy chemistry yeah. and Jesse Palmer even brings it up later. He's like, obviously you and Nicole have some pretty wild yeah. chemistry and Mel is beaming. Yeah. He's like, but I do feel like we need to kind of get yeah. to know each other a little more, which also side note, during these conversations with the ladies, we're doing hometowns next week.
Yeah.
And his questions for them are, so where do you live?
Yeah.
That's how deep we've gotten, family, okay? Yeah. He's like, where do you live? Yeah, where am I going next
What's
week?
What's your name again?
That's how deep we're getting. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
But they end up doing a shaman card reading, a tarot reading with Shaman Danny. And they pull the witness card. Mm-hmm. And they're discussing, you know, Nicole ends up discussing her fear of not being stable.
Yeah.
And Mel wants to clear stress. Anything says no friction, no stress, aka
annoying.
A woman breathing down yeah, my neck.
I don't want somebody talking about this.
But I do feel like, okay, to support Nicole, again, some of the things she said were really out of pocket and not okay.
Sure.
But when we hear her say that she has a fear of not being stable, and then when she sits down with Mel
yeah.
and he says, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, my dad is basically like my accountant.
And I was thinking to myself, how old's your dad?
Well, Evan, this is another reason why I think she's lying and she's 45.
Yeah, because it's like, wait, if you're in your 60s, very few people's parents are still alive, right?
Yes.
So it's like your dad's your accountant and he's 94.
Don't make him keep having to do that.
Dude, how is he gonna count at 94 years old? Like, it's insane. It's just like, here's your tax return. Like, that's insane, dude. So, and then her dad's just like, you need a little more income. And she's like, and that's why I'm here.
But like,
to launch Nicole's recipes.
But like, that's another reason why I'm telling
that's
you
why
all,
there's something's up.
That woman is 45
yeah,
fucking
it's like,
years
wait a second,
old.
Your 95-year-old dad is your accountant still?
She acts young. And then we hear
what,
that her dad's
bro?
Still involved in her finances. Like, I'm like, that's a 45-year-old
woman.
You know,
woman. Mel was like, your dad's alive?
That's a 45-year-old woman with a 65-year-old dad.
Yeah.
Okay, like just that her dad is as old as Mel.
Up.
Okay, her dad is Mel's age. Let's just put that out there, okay? But this is my point. So we hear Nicole say that she feels unstable.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when he says, where are you in the next 5 years? And she says, hey, like, you know, my dad's looking through my finances. And basically he said, I could use some more money.
Yeah.
And so I want to start my influencing career. I want to make money that way. I want to make a cookbook, whatever. My heart, I felt
sure.
for this woman because all of a sudden I'm like, you know what? Everyone right now in the U.S.
Especially if you're that age and you're not already like solid with retirement or something, you're feeling a lot of stress.
Yes. And it's like right now, it's like to everyone financially.
Yes.
Minus all the fucking super wealthy billionaire gross people in the United
yeah.
States. But everyone's feeling it, right?
Everyone's feeling it.
And so this woman is feeling stressed because do I actually think she's 45? No, I think this woman is like in her 60s and she's feeling it. She's got kids.
Yeah.
Who knows who else she's supporting, you know, and she's like, oh, I don't have the money. And so like I'm feeling stressed because I don't feel financially stable and what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We don't know her, you know, her situation. And so I want to make some money and
yep.
this is a way that I can make money.
But that's just not a date thing you say, you know, like
yes,
it's like,
I
hey,
know.
Thank God you got money because I'm looking for some.
But I also think, by the way, I think that Nicole, if she's the worst villain of all time
yeah.
because a very, very sharp villain would have been like, this is my personal tragedy.
Yeah.
I say, so in the next 5 years, I'm going to be honest with you, like financially, I'm stressed, like I'm struggling. And so I love to retire. But right now I just, my family needs money. And so my next 5 years is like me trying to start a business. Like it's me trying to make sure that like we're going to be comfortable and everyone's going to be okay. That if
damsel
she,
in distress
if
energy.
She would have worded it that yeah. way, he would have been like, well, I'll let me come you. And save you.
Luckily for me.
And the audience then would have felt it in a way of like, oh yeah. shit, I can relate to right. that. I can relate to that. Like I feel that and I feel that stress.
But she had already outed this whole plan, so it kind of ruined the vibe.
Well, and then she's out here saying, calling season one ugly. She's out here being like, yeah, these ladies don't have a chance. And like, yeah. I'm everything
I
and they're nothing.
And I know that I will be. And then 2 seconds later, cut.
Like, yes. Whoa. And just being like, let's tease the women. Are they watching? Are they looking?
It's
if she would have played this differently,
yeah.
she could have gone far.
Yeah, agreed.
And been like the villain. But like had support.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so she's saying these things to him. And then she wraps it all up with the worst bow ever by being like, give me a kiss for the camera.
Yeah. So weird, dude. So he's already kind of like, whoa, she's kind of into the money. She's kind of into the business. And I don't know if this is true and honest. And maybe this is what Debbie was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, give me a kiss for the camera. It's like, why'd you say for the camera? Why don't you just take a kiss? Like, why don't you just say, give me a kiss?
Unbelievable.
It's almost like she's like, this is all bullshit, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like she, in her mind, is like, this whole thing's bullshit. It's just TV. It's all a joke. And then she's expecting him to feel the same almost.
Yes. I think she thinks everyone's feeling the same way.
I think she thinks this is all fake inside job. Reality TV's totally fake. Everything's fake about it, right?
Yeah.
And then everyone else is like, no, I'm kind of here for the real reasons. And she doesn't even connect with the fact
that it genuinely feels like she thinks everyone's in on it.
Yeah, like it's all just it's almost like a scripted, unscripted TV show. You're just like, it's
again,
fine.
If she wouldn't have said certain things that were insulting to other people, I'd be like, thank you, Nicole, for feeding us.
Yes.
Because that line, give me a kiss for the camera. And then once they kiss.
By the way, she's done that every time they've kissed.
I know. Let's do it. Well, let's jump in the pool. Let's do it
good
for
TV.
For good TV.
Every time they're together, she makes a comment about how like, let's do it for the camera.
But then after she's trying to feed us yeah. because she goes, give me a kiss for the camera. They kiss. And then she touches his face and she goes, thank you. That meant so much to me. Like she went back so in her weird. Role. Like
she knows they're going to cut out the when I say this other stuff and then keep the other, you know,
honestly, Nicole is trying to just live in like,
is she trying to produce the show?
Yes. Nicole's trying to produce the show. She's not quite ready yet. We got things we got to really work on.
But
okay.
She's because trying we're playing to be a producer. It fast and loose.
But she's also kind of living her like Black Mirror existence.
I'd love to see
she's
her.
She's
like,
living
one-on-one.
Her Black Mirror existence. Yeah. She's like, this is all fake anyway. Yeah. Right.
So I'd love to see her one-on-one conversation with like producers on the side. You know, she's just like, hey, here's my card. Here's what I think we should do. You know, she was doing that the whole show, like giving them pointers and ideas.
Maybe
and
she's like, going to start like working and bringing her plant-based foods for them and like for Crafty.
Yeah, maybe.
Start like, you know, feeding the production crew.
True.
I don't maybe. Know. Okay. Then we have Carol and Mel. And Carol, I've realized why Carol hits me in a certain way where I feel like I know her and I've got like this soft spot. She reminds me of Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh, interesting.
In like a non-character type of way. Hmm. Her voice, though, is a little like there's a bit of a Coolidge. I don't know. I've never really talked to a man before, and I don't know. And she's got this breathy tone. And so when they went into the yurt and the shaman said, we're going to clear your chakras, and she goes, my what?
Yeah.
What's that?
Right.
She's never heard of a chakra.
Hot dog real bad.
She's never heard of a chakra.
Yeah.
Which is so funny.
Yeah, it's
to
very
me.
Cute.
She just gives Jennifer Coolidge a little bit like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like there's a little of that energy,
yeah,
100%. Right?
100%. I just love when she broke it off with him. She was calm, cool, collected, gave it to him straight, and wasn't broken up about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then got in the car and was super hopeful and was like, this is giving me hope. So for me, I think she's one of the most layered characters on the show.
I agree.
I think she actually is one of the most like kind of in tune with herself without needing to go through all these processes. Like she's just kind of naturally super in tune. The fact that she's like not getting caught up in the hysteria of it all, not getting caught up in an air of maybe desperation or desire for this, not getting caught up in kind of like, he's this athlete, handsome guy, so therefore I like him. She just kind of was always like, I'm going to analyze this. And you know what? And the fact that she left felt really good. I like that it kind of put Mel on his back foot a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
she just seemed super in control of herself and her emotion. Does that make sense?
No, I
agree. She just was one of the few who wasn't swept up and was just super in control the whole time.
Yeah.
Would even have air of defending herself when he would make comments. We're like, well, there's nothing wrong with me, you know, just because I'm whatever. I don't know. I feel like she's one of the most kind of like in control, solid per people there in this journey. And it was just interesting to watch her kind of just body him at the end and just be like, yeah. And, you know, it's like a little kiss and a hug and hope you have a great life.
I loved it.
And he was just kind of like, huh?
And he's like, well, this is shocking. I gave her the group date rose last week.
Right.
And she's leaving, even though I gave her a rose, which actually is huge. Like, he gave her the group date rose.
But I like it wasn't, I miss my family. It was like, no, he's not my guy.
She's like, I don't know him well enough.
Loved it.
She goes, I do like you and I'd like to get to know you, but you didn't choose me for the one-on-one. So I'm not comfortable taking you to my house yet.
Yeah, it just seemed like she was kind of removed from it. It was like, oh, good.
Freddie's not ready to meet you yet.
No.
Freddie Freeman, you're not getting close,
not
to,
getting
Freddie.
Close to Freddie.
You got to sign an NDA.
Yeah.
And you know what? For me to bring my nephew around you, I got to be really comfortable.
Off.
Okay. If the cameras are going to be around Freddie Freeman, number one, you got to pay. Mm-hmm. Number two, I got to be real comfy.
Fee.
But I did really enjoy Carol.
It was nice.
And I loved that she kind of pulled the plug on it and
it
was like, nah, I'm good.
It wasn't a whole thing either. It was just very calm, and bam, and I'm gone. And I was just like, whoa, damn.
Yeah. And I want to say shout out to Carol. Mm-hmm. When they were doing the shaman, some of the inner child work, she said what her little child needs is attention. Mm-hmm. And so I say, let's heap attention, loving attention on Carol. She said that she feels unworthy and that she's looking for attention. And
that's
I loved
cute,
that was so vulnerable,
honest.
Saying like attention. Also, by the way, Mel said he is looking for friendship and that made my heart kind of
hurt. Yeah, that was like, oh, okay.
And I want him to be like vulnerable and be like, it's okay to ask for friends. Like, let's talk about it. Like, we don't have to, I don't know.
He's like, oh, never mind. Yeah.
But I don't know. Let's give that to Carol.
Yeah.
And so she ended up leaving us on that note. And I do have to tell you what's absolutely sent me is when Cheryl saw her leaving, she was like,
yeah, she went,
oh no, what's happening?
There's some sort of beast that came and took her. Like, that's a car.
So she ran back.
There's a beast with wheels. Some sort of horse that I've never seen before.
She ran back to the woman and she literally said, a big black SUV came and took Carol away.
He stole her.
And it was scary. It was like the women were like, what? Wait, what? What
She's
do you
been
mean?
Abducted. It's like, no, she left, dude. Chill. Some horse stole her away to the evil castle.
A large dragon with wheels came and swept her up and it's taking her away. We have to go save her. Birds?
That's insane. Call Mel, the prince.
He doesn't know how to ride horses, but I'm sure he'll get here swiftly.
Gosh. Dragon with wheels.
Let's talk about Cindy's one-on-one date. But first, let's take one more quick pause. Family, we heard that Nicole's dad is the one who looks over all her finances, and shout out to him, but I'll tell you who I trust in the finance department, and that is Rocket Money. Do you ever feel like your money just disappears each month? Same, okay? And I'm stressed about it, right? Well, not so much anymore. I was stressing. It's easier than ever to overspend right now, from subscriptions piling up to impulse buys after seeing an ad on your phone to ordering takeout a few times a month. Well, Rocket Money helps you rein it in by showing you where your money is going and helping you make better decisions so you can keep more money in your pocket, okay? That's why I'm not stressing anymore, because Rocket Money changed the game for me. It really opened my eyes and uncovered spending habits that I wasn't even really aware of. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. I mean, they take care of so much for you.
Yeah, it's true. Not only do they help you save money by helping find and cancel those unwanted subscriptions, they also really lay out your financial picture for you through the dashboard, including bill due dates and paydays in a way that's easy to digest. You can even automatically create custom budgets based on your past spending. It's been so helpful in showing us habits and how we can save money. And if you've got a goal you'd like to save for, Rocket Money can analyze your accounts to find the best time each month to put money aside.
I mean, They're always helping us. They're crushing it. Truly, truly. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you. The app automatically scans your bills to find opportunities to save and then goes to work to get you better deals. They'll even talk to customer service so you don't have to. They're incredible. Rocket Money has saved users over. Are you ready for this? Rocket Money has saved users over $2.5 billion, including over $880 million in canceled subscriptions alone. Their 10 million members save up to $740 a year when you use all of the app's premium features. We are some of their happy members. I'm telling you, Rocket Money is one of those things where I'm like, if you don't have it, why not? Okay? It's going to change the game for you. You have to get Rocket Money. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/momdad today. That's rocketmoney.com/momdad. rocketmoney.com/momdad. Okay, so next we have Cindy's one-on-one date. They go to the Griffith Observatory, which sounds like some serious cash to shut down the Griffith Observatory. It's always packed.
I know. I've been there many times with Amber. We like hiking. We've done that hike.
I know.
Many times.
I know. Well, they rode horses up it. I was actually concerned for them when they were talking about the hike. The hike is not easy. And so I was like, why are they having them hike this? But then they used a different dangerous means of transportation, which were horses, which for her, Cindy, that's great. But for Mel, not so much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was like we talked about earlier. He was talking about like the horse won't smell any fear from me.
I am the least scared boy in the world.
I was a football player, hence I'm not scared.
40 years ago, I'm scared of
hence,
nothing.
Hence, I know no fear because like, last time I played football.
Horses are way scarier than people do, like in regards to power. Like a horse kicks you, you're done.
I know.
So chill.
Majestic.
They're babies, though.
Majestic, so beautiful creatures.
Yes, I didn't like that.
But he has Moose, his horse. Mm-hmm. And I will say to his credit, even though he was in the ITMs being like, they shall know, no smell no fear from me, he was really encouraging Moose.
He was.
He was.
He's being sweet.
And Cindy was like, I was nice to see him encourage Moose. He was being sweet. He was like, you got this. Great job, Moose. I feel like we kind of saw a little bit of a different side of him in that moment.
Yeah, I agree.
Even though we know, you know, not much from Mel, but it was a moment. Then they have a gorgeous picnic, and that's when Cindy decides to open up more to Mel. Now, Cindy's a professional.
Yes.
Cindy is so good.
She knows how to
at
date.
This show, but also at this show.
Yeah, sure.
She's so good at this. And what's interesting is that we've watched her when she's not with Mel, she's spiraling. Yeah. We're crying. I like him so much. And we're like, wow, Cindy, you barely know him. She's feeling all these things. But the second she's with Mel, I don't know if you've noticed this, she's not. She's locked in and she's like, oh, I'm okay. We're all good. So she, you know, in this bachelor universe is like, I know how to do this because I'm not coming to him. Like how she said to Carol, don't put that on him about that he's dating other women. Yeah. So Cindy is like, oh, I would never go to Mel and make the king feel feel bad about being with other women. It's not my place. I don't want him to feel that way. Don't put that more pressure on him.
Absolutely.
She might be feeling that in her own self, but when she's with Mel, it's just all compliments. We're great together, all the things. But what she did do in this moment is she really opened up to him. She talked about how, you know, with her ex-husband, what she'd always wanted was a family. Yeah. And she got that initially with her ex-husband, but then she ended up finding out, you know, 20 years into it.
Yeah.
She doesn't say that it was a cheating, but it kind of, I don't know, she said that he wasn't who she thought he was. And kind of there was, you know, you got the idea that something happened where her trust was very much betrayed.
Yeah.
But that she, you know, it's all about her kiddos. She adores her children. And I do have to say, in this conversation, I felt like Mel gave more. I felt like he was pretty lovely in this conversation.
I think he really likes her.
I think Cindy brings out a different side of Mel that I like.
Yeah, I agree.
And she said, she was like, listen, in the tail end of my life, like, I want to fall in love.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't want some like, oh, we kind of trip into it.
She's
it kind of works
done that.
Out. I like this energy because sometimes, and it's every, you know, whatever anyone else wants is like valid and good. But I think a lot of times what we hear is like, oh, I had my like big romance later in my life. I'm looking for more of a friendship. I think it's kind of a fun, like a wonderful perspective to hear someone else who has a different perspective.
She's like, I already did like, the functional marriage. I want to do the actual love thing.
I want passion and love. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. That, it's really cool. It's like, she's looking for that in particular. Mm-hmm. And she's like, hey, I'm a very logical person. And I'm shocked by my feelings towards you. She talks about how she was an engineer, all this stuff. And it is interesting because so far we've seen her be very emotional on the show, do a lot of crying, but it seems like that's not typically her style. So she's feeling something.
100%.
And she's a professional because she's like, listen, you know, you're going to meet my three daughters in hometowns. And my daughter said that when they saw that it was you, that you were handpicked for me. Mm. And she gasses him up, which is huge because he goes into this season being like, none of the women are going to like me because of what I said. So to hear one of the daughters was like, he was handpicked for you. You were meant for him. And she's gassing him up. Yeah,
100%.
And that's when he goes, even with my potty mouth. And I'm like, what is that? Who is this guy? They're just chopping all of it, being like, oh, fucking this fucking hike, this fucking horse, this fuck.
And all of a sudden, she's like,
oh my God, this fucking Griffith Observatory shit is so fucking beautiful. They just
constantly, that's why you don't see anything about him. You'd actually know him so much, but he swears constantly. They can't use any of the footage.
They can't use any of it. He's actually a big talker.
Yeah, huge talk, talking nonstop. So they can just use little tiny segments when he's not swearing 24/7.
Well, these two do a lot of kissing, lots of smooching, and we hear her say, right now, he is everything to me. He's the sun, the moon, the stars wrapped into one. And again, I'm like, what aren't we seeing? Because for someone to say that.
It really is hot privilege right there. You know, when you're really good looking like that, it's just like, you are the sun and the moon. You looked at me. You know what I mean?
That is hot privilege because he is gorgeous. And it's just like,
yeah, it's like, oh my God, you're amazing. He's like, totally. It's like, he's amazing.
He's not saying anything. He's just, he's just swearing.
That's like the good guy torture, you know? When they're like, I brought you flowers and this and that and took you in the world. And then the hot guy comes and he goes, hey. And he goes, my God,
you are the sun and the moon and the stars and everything to me.
And he's like, what? What's happening? Oh, he's so funny.
That just, I was like, wow, that is. But what she did that I think was very smart is that she gave him all the gassing up energy, all of it, but she didn't tell him that she's falling in love with him.
Well, that was smart. I think that was really smart.
For at least what I gather from a guy like Mel.
I'm not interested anymore.
Yeah, it's a little bit of like, you give him, the chase string, you string him along a little bit. She knows what she's doing. Him everything.
She's a good dater.
She's a good dater. You can feel that she's a good dater. And I think she's going to be fantastic during hometowns. Yeah. The way that she's going to like present him, and it's going to just be a whole thing.
You thought you liked lemon bars. Here's a lemon loaf. It's like,
during fantasy suites.
And then her house is decorated with lemons.
During fantasy suites. Yeah. Instead of a bed, like she's lemon like, bra. I had a
lemon like two lemons. Like, you know, coconuts, but these are lemons. Call me meringue. Jacuzzi is just a lemon, like a big old, like everything's lemons. You thought Nicole did it right?
That's crazy. Okay, so next thing, they don't have a cocktail party.
Just like FaceTime their family.
We see everybody FaceTime their kiddos. And I will say, just jumping off of Cindy is telling her daughter that Mel is everything she's been looking for. And all I could think about, if I was her daughter and I got to be on FaceTime with her, I'm like, aren't you going to ask me about my performance at the Hollywood Bowl?
True.
Because remember the last time she FaceTimed her daughter? She's like, I'm performing at the Hollywood Bowl with Diana Ross, right?
Right, right.
I'd be like, aren't you going to ask
I'm sure they talked about it. Like, anyway, Mel's amazing. Good night. Huh?
It's just a really big deal.
I know.
And everyone else is very sweet. All the conversations on FaceTime. I love that they were able to peg her daughters. Just like, I'm so proud to call you my mom. And, you know, so sweet. Now, I will mention the Nicole FaceTime.
I know. I was like, what?
Her friend. It's her friend. Yeah. And her friend, the first thing her friend says goes, let's cut to the chase. Is he hot or no?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that tracks.
And Nicole's just like, he's super hot. And they're like, what?
And it's like, where are the kids? You know what I mean? Like, everybody else is like, hey, dude, I love you. And she's just like, is he hot? And have you started your business online? Like, you. It's like, dude, I have this Freaky Friday stuff going on with Nicole. Nicole's got like a 26-year-old trapped in her body. It is truly insane. Like two Freaky Friday friends. They're like, we're in grandma's body. Woo! But it truly is. Like, I've never seen anyone who's 60 something and literally has the spirit of someone who's like 24.
That means that you haven't gone to a lot of bars in Orange County like I have. That's what it is. Those women are like, those women are down to party.
Maybe it's just more the juxtaposition like against all the other women on the show, but it's just like,
no, those women are down to party. Like they are like 21 and it's wild and it's just, he's hot. Whoa.
Yeah, woo.
But then we get to the rose ceremony. Yeah. Now, first rose goes to Cindy.
Yeah.
Second goes to Peg.
Yeah.
And the final rose goes to Debbie. Mm-hmm. So going home are Cheryl and Nicole. And poor sweet Cheryl.
So sweet.
She was really
her
sad.
Her birdies had to come and take her away.
Yes.
She had to get into the big scary dragon on wheels.
Yes. She had to get into the scary dragon.
It's like, it's going to eat me. It's like it opens its door.
Ah! Oh, no. I don't feel comfortable getting into that. Can I call for my valiant steed?
Yeah. Insane. Insane.
I thought that a carriage was going to come and pick me up. A carriage pulled by swans.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Insane. But Nicole, let's talk about this Nicole moment real quick, man, because it was insane.
Nicole, so leading up to this, we hear Mel talking to Jesse and we're like, yeah, like, chemistry, up. Hot, hot, hot. But we even heard Mel during his moment with Nicole where he said, listen, it's interesting that the tarot card was a witness because he's like, I'm an observer, which I guess is a clue into who he is. Maybe he is actually a very quiet guy. And he's like, I watch.
Yeah.
Maybe he's also a secret agent because, again, the man is like culinary school, football player, Picasso, you know, spiritual. And then he's like, and I observe. I'm like, ah, secret agent.
Yeah.
Cool. He's a man of mystery of many faces. But he's like, I've been watching Nicole and I've come to the wild conclusion that I don't know a lot about her.
He's like,
and she might not be here just for me.
Yeah. It's a possibility.
And I want someone here completely for me. And so when he does not pick Nicole, she is shook because we've been hearing her in the ITMs this entire time saying, obviously he's going to pick me.
Yeah.
Like, look at me.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's going to choose me. When he calls Debbie instead of Nicole,
her brain melted.
She
was like, what?
Legitimately looks at her and she goes, oh, wow. Okay.
She goes, oh, Debbie.
She goes, oh, Debbie. Wow.
Wow. And then literally rolls her eyes.
That was so offensive.
And then looks around too, like, can you guys believe how insane this is? Like, how did you like, could tell that she was bugging her the whole time, though, because like Debbie would kind of like talk. I could just sense that Debbie bothered her.
Well, Debbie's the youngest. Yeah. And you know that, you know, since Mel has declared his affinity for younger women, Nicole probably felt like Debbie was a bit of a threat.
Yeah, you could tell it was just definitely a weird vibe like that. She kind of didn't like. Yeah, didn't like it. So when she picked Debbie, was like, what?
That was
happening.
Wild. So, you know, Cheryl, when Mel takes Cheryl out, Cheryl, which by the way, she looks stunning in that dress. Yeah. Cheryl like, oh, sweet goodbye to him. Yeah, and she even like a Disney princess leans out of the big beast of the SUV and puts her hand under his chin and is like, farewell, and gives him a little kiss. And it's just very, but Nicole then has her moment with Mel. God. And he, as he's walking her to the car, he just keeps talking. He's like, well, obviously I've always had an attraction to you.
Right,
he keeps talking about how attracted he is to her. And I'm like, make no mistake, this man is planting seeds right now.
Sure.
So in case it doesn't work out, that he's like, just so you know, I think you're smoking hot.
Right.
So just as a heads up, I'm very attracted to you. It's like, why does this guy keep talking about how attracted he is to her as he's like walking away with her instead of like, it was so amazing to get to know you. Da, da, da. He's just like, well, obviously I'm very turned on by you.
Like,
you know, whatever. But then she says to him, she turns around and she goes, I know. When it doesn't work out with the one you pick, because it probably won't, you call me. And it was like a to the camera.
Yeah, she might as well be doing it to the camera.
And she's like, call me.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a performance of a lifetime.
Then she gets in the car, is driving away, and it just goes like, well, he didn't pick me, but maybe he'll pick me to be the next bachelorette. And it's like, do you understand how that does, now you're officially never
going to be it. No, there's no way like, you're going to be
the bachelorette. You weren't going to be it before all the shit you did, but now you solidified it'll never happen.
But honestly, the exit,
I mean, pretty wild.
Feel how you will iconic. About her. The exit was iconic because iconic. He was setting her up for that by saying like, I'm so attracted to you. He's trying to slip in there, everybody. Yeah. So you can come and you can hate on Nicole, which I get, but like trust and believe Mel is laying groundwork. And then she just basically followed
no
up
question.
With it.
In 6 months, we will see them post together.
They're going to be on a date.
Well, whoever he ends up with on the show, it'll last for like a month. There's no question that they will be
paparazzi,
together in 6 months.
Paparazzi will take photos, yes. will capture photos. It'll be on TMZ. They'll be at Javier's.
In Newport Beach.
She'll be sitting on his lap.
Yes.
And it will be, they'll Done. Be on a date. Okay. 100%. And yes, was the exit pretty gnarly to literally say on the Golden Bachelorette, when it doesn't work out with who
which
you
I know
choose,
it won't.
Call me. I mean, that is the most non-girls girl vibe oh, yeah. you've ever felt. Oh, yeah. And it put all of our hair on the back of our neck yes. on edge. But it was an iconic.
But you know,
exit.
She finished the loop.
She did.
It's like, you know, you don't want at the end, her all of a sudden her change of personality. She went all the way to the end.
That's true.
Well, Nicole, you'll be missed TV wise.
Honestly, I know that people were saying like she needs to go because it's not giving other women a chance. But like, here's how I feel. Like, I don't feel like Mel is maybe ready to be like the best partner to right. some of these women. So I'm okay with women going home because I think they're going to find better partners. So honestly, like, I'm really sad Nicole's gone because I feel like seeing her at hometown would have been so funny. Yeah. Like, it would have been a full performance. And then her at Fantasy Suite, them at Fantasy Suite would have been everything.
Yeah. Insane.
So I'm actually like kind of devastated.
I would have loved to seen hometowns and just seen all the stuff that she said.
Like, I'm pretty devoed. I'm not going to lie.
I know. I would have loved to see some more stuff. But
well,
you know.
Next week we have hometowns and it looks like it's going to get a little bit spicy, everybody. These hometowns look like we're going to feel it because yeah. we have a lot of the daughters being like but what? Does he really care yeah. about you? And like, I don't know about you and I don't know how yeah. I feel about you and I don't think you're being appreciated mom Agreed. Enough by Mel. Like, it looks like the daughters are coming for revenge. You know why? Because the daughters have since heard Mel's podcast and so now they're like, hey, back down, my guy. Mm-hmm. My mom is worth her weight in diamonds. Yeah. Okay, so enough is enough.
Agreed.
So we're going to see that popping off in hometowns next
mm-hmm.
week.
Mm-hmm.
So tune in. Next week, we just got the one episode next week,
yeah.
and it is going to be a Golden Bachelor recap of hometowns. Yes, we love you, family.
Love you guys.
Enjoy your weekend.
Yes, we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.